All right. As we start today, I'm going to read on Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to read the first three verses there. But I'm going to go ahead and start with prayer. So we all need a little prayer, so I'm going to go ahead and start out that way. Lord, I pray today that your will is done today. Father, that it's not me up here speaking, Father, but it's you, and your presence is known. Father, as a human, I have nerves. But Father, we're crushing those nerves in your name today. Father, we're saying that the nerves aren't going to hold us back, but I'm going to speak what you would have me speak, Father. Father, I am an empty vessel, and I pray that right now that you fill me up. Father, that I overflow, and that your speech is heard today. We pray this in your precious holy name, Father. Amen. So I want to thank you all for coming out tonight, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to talk about Hebrews 12, 1, 2, and 3. All right. So I have a few questions to start out, and I don't want anybody to shout out the answers, but a few questions. What is it in life that we feel like giving up on? Is it dreams, goals, possibly a marriage? Do we feel like giving up on God sometimes? Do we feel like giving up, period? Just laying down and saying, you know what? I'm done. Sometimes we feel that way. What in life have you left undone? What commitments, projects, promises, vows, or pledges have we left undone? What is holding us back and distracting us? Is it a relationship, a fear, a worry, a job, or a possession? These are all critical questions, and I feel like some of these are written about and answered here in Hebrews. Verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us, the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So the Bible describes it describes life not only as a race, but what I want to talk about is the fact that it calls it a marathon. So we look at life sometimes as a race. We do, because it says it in the Bible, life's a race. But it also says that it's a marathon. It's easy to prepare for a race when you're in a car. It's easy to prepare for a race when it's just a 100-yard dash. But is it easy to prepare for a marathon? It takes perseverance, it takes strength, it takes endurance, and it takes faith in yourself in order to run a marathon. Because if you don't trust in yourself, how are you going to endure? If you don't have faith in yourself, how are you going to speak your way through the trial that you're going through as you're running, whether it be a hamstring or I can't breathe or whatever it is, because we all have excuses. They leave a lot of things in life, or we all do. Sometimes we leave things in life unfinished. We start out well with good intentions. We run we give empty promises that we don't really keep. We start out with big projects that we never finish. We make commitments that we don't intend to follow. We have big dreams that we never step up to the plate and take. Sometimes in life, it's easier to say things like, that's the way God wants it, or that's the way it's going to be, or I'm just going to accept it because that's how life is. Life happens. Where's our faith? Why have we let things in life encompass us, decide what path we're going to take? Why have we let things in life set precedence over what God has for us? Sometimes it is easy to say life happens, but sometimes God really has something for us, and we're hiding behind the here and now. We're hiding behind what we feel like is going on at the time. I actually had planned to go a different route with this, but as I'm up here, God's changing it. So I'm going to put the notes away. So the other day in Bible study, we started to talk about Abraham and how God told him that he was going to be the father of many. Here's Abraham, 100 years old. You're going to be the father of many. And Abraham was set to believe it. He knew that that's what God had for him, so every day he prayed. He said, God, thank you. Thank you for what you promised me that you're going to give me. Not a single time did he say, God, you told me I was going to be the father of many. Here I am old. I'm old. I can't be the father of many. No, he said, thank you, God. Thank you for the promise that you've given me. Thank you. He did not let circumstance define what God told him he was going to give him. Instead, he said, God, thank you. Because he didn't let circumstance stand in the way of a promise given by God. God has given each and every one here promises. Each and every one. You know where we'll find them? Right here. He spoke so many things over everybody's life. Before we were yet born, he had a path for us. So sometimes in life, it's easy to get tangled up in circumstance, to let a diagnosis diagnose what we're going to live our life, to let somebody's word for us encompass what we're going to do next. At 7 years old, I got a calling. God told me that I was going to be a pastor. I was going to preach. I was going to be a man of God. One day I walked into the house, I testified at church, and I heard two people that I looked up to speaking, and they said, I wish he'd sit down. Sometimes kids need to be quiet in church. Sometimes kids don't need to talk. Fast forward a little bit longer, those words every day dug into me deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. It was easy to walk away from God because of simple words. I let what somebody spoke of me encompass my next direction. And trust me, I went far from God. I went further than I ever imagined possible. There was drugs, there was alcohol, there was messed up relationships, friendships, got involved in the wrong crowds. By 18 years old, I was an alcoholic. By 19, I was addicted to drugs. I had messed up because of what somebody said about me. Because I wasn't strong enough to step up and say, you know what? God's already called me. I've been back in the church for 4 years now and stronger than I've ever been in my life. Because I finally, in 2013... my grandmother had passed away, and this goes back to what God had led me to speak about today anyway. My grandmother had passed away, and I kneeled down at her casket because here this woman is. She was the warrior of our family, the prayer warrior, that prayed for me my entire life because she knew where I was supposed to be and she knew where I was at. She prayed for me. And not a single time did I hear her pray, but I knew she was praying because I could feel it in my bones. She passed away before she saw me come to Christ. I reached in my hand, in my pocket that night. I pulled out what was in my pocket. 3 bottle caps of the beer I drank on the way to the funeral. A tin of chew, of the chew that I was chewing before I walked into the church. I laid my addictions on the altar. I got up and walked away and said, God, you have already made a calling on my life. Why am I living the way that I'm living? Why am I living eating after the swine when I am royalty? So many times it's so easy to let life get in the way of serving God when all God wants is a relationship from us. He wants us to look to him and say, God, what do you have for me? You've already called me. You've already chosen me. What do you have? And like Abraham, he said, God, you told me I'm going to have those kids. Send them on. I'm old. I probably can't keep up with them because I know I'm 29 years old. And I have trouble keeping up with my daughter. But the thing is, here he is, 100 years old, and he said, God, I'm ready for it. Children are a blessing, a true blessing. So it says that we are supposed to, it says in here, we're surrounded by a crowd of witnesses. It says, so since we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, we should run by recalling the race of the ones who has gone before us. So for me, it was my grandmother. I recall the race that she ran. And I said, you know what? That's what I want. I've let life decide my fate when I should be deciding life's fate. God has already chose it for me. God has already gave me a path. Why am I over here? My path's over there. It was so easy to let life persuade me. So we are to look onto other people's races. Not that we're running the race that they're running, because everybody's race is different. Everybody's race is different. But we are to run with perseverance. Sometimes we are going to see people and we're going to look up to them. We have spiritual mothers and fathers. We also need to take into consideration the ones that are following us. So not only are we following the person in front of us, but there's somebody behind us, whether it be a child, a loved one, your spouse. There's always somebody that's looking upon us. Are we living our life in a way that it's pleasing to God and that it's pleasing to them and makes them hungry for what you have? Are we running our race from the sideline, sitting here every day saying, they're doing a good job running the race? I feel like part of the race because I'm watching them. It's the same thing with football. We watch football, Steelers, go Steelers. We'd watch Steelers and we say, we did good last night. You know why we say we feel good or we did good? Because by watching them every Sunday, we feel like we're part of the team. We feel like we're on the field playing with them. And instead, we're sitting on the sidelines, taking credit for what they're doing. And we've done nothing. We need to run the race as if there are people following us, if there are people looking at us, running the race as well, and looking to you to figure out what their next step is. We know that they need to be looking to God. But as humans, we look to people and we look for nurturing. We look for loving care. Are we living our life in the way that it's leading somebody to Christ? Or are we pushing them away by the life that we live? It says also, let us throw off everything that is hindering us, the sin that so easily entangles us. We need to run by removing our hindrances. So that's what happens. We start to worry about keeping a hold onto things and stuff, onto possessions, things that we've lost along the way. We begin to look back at them and wonder. But the biggest thing is our past. It's very easy to let our past define us. It's very easy to let what other people have said and done and acted upon to hinder what we do as Christians or what we do in our life, period. It's very easy to say, you know what? That person did say that about me. It must be true. It must be true. Or if that person feels that way about me, I must be doing something wrong. When sometimes there's something wrong in that person's heart that makes them look for the negative in people. But it's so easy to let people predict our futures. So what I did that day when I kneeled and I prayed and I asked God to forgive me was I decided that I no longer was going to be the author of my will. Because what I had done by going out and letting them control me by their words was I took the pen myself and started writing a story. I sat down and, note after note, and I started making my decisions. And what I did that day was I gave the pen back to God. I said, God, I'm no longer in control. I'm sick of being in control. If we are in control, if we are in the driver's seat, where are we heading? How fast are we going to get there? We are going to get tired. We are going to get weary. But what's God say about that? Come to me, and I will give you rest. We can't run it without God. We can't. We try to. On a daily basis, we try to. We try to get up in the morning. We get dressed. We go to work. We finish work. We punch the time clock. We leave. What happens is somebody's bad mood rolls over into us and rolls into somebody else, and we end up doing this domino effect where everybody's a grump by the time we leave work. We're allowed to wake up in the morning and decide it's going to be a good day. Just like I said, that people say, this is life. This is how life happens. We could also wake up and say, this is God's day. God allowed me to wake up breathing this morning. It's His breath in my lungs. Why would I do anything less than glorify Him? So, if we look even further, we talked about running with others in sight. Let's talk about running with perseverance with Jesus in sight. And notice that I said Jesus and not the Son of God. Yes, I believe that, I know without a doubt that Jesus is the Son of God. But I said Jesus because I want to think of Him in the man form. He came and walked the earth. Why? So that we had somebody to run our race after. So that we could look and say, He was in the form of a man. And He came and put on my shoes. And He came and walked in my shoes. Because you don't understand somebody until you've walked in their shoes. Well, He's been here. He's done it. He sacrificed so much. But yet it's so hard for us to sacrifice anything more than the 60 minutes we come to church. Because it's so easy to be a pew warmer sometimes. It's so easy to come in here and watch somebody burn. But is it easy to carry that flame and burn when you walk out the door? I don't want to come in here and be the one that's sitting here and says, go, Pastor John. Go, Pastor John. And then when I leave, I carry nothing with me. We do need cheerleaders. I got one sitting up here. We need the cheerleaders. But when you leave, take the cheer with you. When you leave, pick up your pom-poms of flame and carry them with you. God has so much in store for this church. He's got so much in store for everybody here. But it's time to run our race with endurance, with passion, with love. It's time to set our shoes on fire and have a blaze going behind us. I think of Flash. I mean, some of you know who that is. The Flash. Running. And as he's running, he's leaving flames behind him. That's what we need to be doing. Blaze a trail. And don't forget to stop along the way. Because sometimes there is people that need encouragement. There are people that need uplifted. There's so much more. But yet we fail to. Because we're so focused on what others have already instilled in us. We talked earlier about the name of Jesus. And how there's so much in the name of Jesus. So as people are running marathons, you see them out there. They have their breathing pattern down. A breath in, a breath out. Shallow breaths. So that they don't overexert themselves. Because breathing does take a lot, especially when you're running that fast. I don't know. I've never ran any faster than what I walk. Because I'm a well-leveled person. My bubble's in the middle and it leans forward a lot. So I don't run. But I understand that when you're running, the breathing pattern is where it's at. So the same way that a runner breathes to stay refreshed, we need to utter the name of Jesus. We don't call on him enough. People say, you know what? In fact, I'm not telling on anybody. I had somebody call me not that long ago, and they said, we need prayer. And I said, what for? I don't hear Jesus' voice. They had just watched Jonah at the Sight and Sound. And they said, I don't hear God's voice. Why doesn't God talk to us like he did in the Bible? I said, we serve the same God. The same God of Abraham and Isaac. The same God of Jacob. The same God that shut the lion's mouth. I mean, come on. We serve the same God. Why do we serve him different than what they served him? We're supposed to look at the path that they ran. We're supposed to look at it. We have a great cloud of witnesses. But yet, who are we fixing our eyes on? The billboards we drive past? The TV screen? We run our life according to these ministers on TV, and we don't know how they live outside. We just run our path that way because they look good. When we have a whole thing here that tells us, it tells us, we need to have the faith of Abraham. Where is that faith? That same faith is the same faith that can bring healing. The same faith that could raise the dead and has raised the dead. The same faith that can destroy cancer, that can destroy heart disease. All it takes is faith. You think when Jesus came to earth, he was born and he had that great faith? He had faith to come here, yes. But he walked in our shoes. He didn't immediately heal somebody. He had faith and he walked up and laid hands on somebody and they were healed. And it took that to build his faith. His faith started small too. We look and we say, my faith's not big enough for that. You know how much faith it takes? The size of the grain of a mustard seed. You know how tiny that is? But yet we can't stir up enough to step up out of our seats and do more than just be a 60-minute Christian. I love coming to church. I love it. And coming here, it gives me strength to go through the week. We need to look at that as the water station. As you're running a marathon, there's plenty of stations standing alongside the road. And as you run through, you grab your cup of water. But it's nothing more than a drink. Nothing more than a drink. What are we doing to keep the endurance in between water stations? What are we doing to keep pace between the water stations? So another time telling on myself, I used to, and I did run back in high school. I was a little skinnier than I am now. But in high school, I had to run once a year. It was like 4 miles you had to do around the track. The track was actually around the school. That's how small my school was. So we would take off running, and the teacher would stand in a way that he would only see the home stretch. So what I would do is I'd come around the bend, I'd walk, I'd keep my pace, walking as fast as I knew I could. And then when I'd get to that home stretch where I knew the teacher could see me, I'd take off sprinting. So I only ran the home stretch. What's that look like? Do we want to be that person that's only running the home stretch? Or do we want to be that person that's boosting people and just running the whole time? Running with perseverance, running with strength, running with faith, knowing that great things are about to happen. I encourage each and every one here to not run in the home stretch, but sprint the entire time. Sprint. And if you need encouragement, you need boosting, it's time to call on the Lord. Call in the name of Jesus. Call on your neighbor. Call on the one sitting next to you. Because God's always there. Not only is he a father figure, but he's also our coach. He's also our guide. He's our leader. The King of all kings. Oh, and by the way, we're his children. We're royalty. no more living like swines. It's time to stand up for what we believe in. It's time to stand up for what God has already written in the book of life for us and stop living for what people have entitled us to be. We are the chosen people. We are the children of God. Every single person in this earth has the ability to stand up and be a child of God. What are we doing to spread the word? All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the ability, Father, to be called your son. Father, I thank you that each and every one here is a child of you. And Father, that we have a group to run this race together with. But Father, we need to look at the end result. We need to keep our eyes on the finish line, Father, and not lose track of where you have for us to go. Father, there may be pit stops along the way. There may be rough patches along the way. But Father, let us break through our dignity, Father, and fall at your feet and call out in the name of Jesus and declare that we will stand up victorious. Because, Father, as your people, we are victorious. Over death, you have been triumphant. Father, why do we not carry that same faith? Father, I pray that you just lift us up, Father. And that through this week and through the weeks coming, Father, that you just encourage us to continue to run the race that is set before us. To continue that passion, Father, that you have instilled in us. Father, I pray fire over every soul here today. I pray that they are uplifted today, Father, and that they go out and they spread the word of the great joys that you have given us. Father, we praise your name. I pray that you bless each and every person that came out today, Father, in your precious name. Amen.